Revelation chapter 20. If you're able to stand, if you can please stand. If not, just follow along. Look what the Bible says here. I'm going to read verse 10. And the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this opportunity to preach, and I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the comfort that it gives us. I thank you, Lord, through your word, Holy Spirit using it, that it convicts us. Lord, that it He reproves us and shows us areas that we need to work in. Lord, I'm thankful for the comfort that your word gives us. And Lord, those trials and those things where we don't know what to do. And Lord, when we pour out our heart to you, that you speak to us through your word. Lord, I'm thankful for the many promises. Lord, I'm thankful that you prepared a place for us, and you are preparing that place for us, heaven. And I'm looking forward to that day to be there. Well, Lord, the truth of the matter is there's also a place that was not prepared for man, but was prepared for the devil. And ultimately, I'm thankful I'll never spend a second in that place called hell. I'm thankful I'll never spend a second in that place called the lake of fire. And I pray this morning that everyone here does know you as their personal Savior. And if not, Lord, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to work on their heart, that they would see this is where they'll spend eternity. And I pray that you'd help us as Christians to be out there witnessing and talking to people and warning people of the judgment to come. Lord, thank you, and I pray that you your hand a blessing upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So back to the basics. I'm going to be talking about hell. I'm going to be talking about the lake of fire. I have a few points and through this, and I want you to see different things of this truth. Look at the first. I want you to see the first point over here to verse 10. Who will be there? Who's going to be in this place called hell, the place that's going to be called a lake of fire? Look here in verse 10. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we can see here that the devil will be spending the eternity in the lake of fire. Amen. I am so glad that the one that's the accuser of the brethren, I am so glad the one who ultimately came to Eve and beguiled her and ultimately told her, "Oh, God lied to you," and ultimately brought all this sin that's in this world, the one that ultimately rebelled against God Almighty and those fallen angels with him, I'm glad that they'll be there. It tells us about the beast. You think of the Antichrist, the false prophet that'll be there. And the Bible says it's going to be them. But the reality is that's not all that will be in hell. The Bible tells us, if you look down here at verse 15, and says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What this scripture is telling us of those who are of age, amen. We don't know what that age is of accountability, amen. You think about the babies. When babies die, they go to heaven. We have a scripture that will tell us that there may be those who have never had a sound mind, right, and don't know the difference between right and wrong. They'll be in heaven. But this is speaking of everyone who has hit an age of accountability and ultimately have never received Christ as their personal Savior. One day, this is what's going to happen to them. They are going to be cast into a lake of fire. And they will be there for all eternity. See, hell is a real place, and hell is for all who have rejected Christ. See, what this Bible tells us, and we can see in verse 11, this is after we know the next great event is going to be the rapture. We know the tribulation period is 7 years. We know the millennial period is about 1,000 years after that. We know there's going to be a little season, as the Bible tells us, where the devil will be released. And then at the end of that, God says, all right, it's over. And we know this is a great white throne judgment. And if you're saved, you will not be standing there at the great white throne judgment. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But this is for all that's lost. And what will happen is, there'll be a book that's open, and their name, they had an opportunity to receive Christ as their Savior. They rejected Him. They'll see that, and ultimately He's going to open up the books. And those books is going to give an account of every single thing of their life. Can you imagine that? I remember when I was in Bible college, and I was teaching the junior church class. And I remember I was talking about the book of life. And I remember I took a phone book, and ultimately I put like a cover over it. Now, when I went to school, we put, my parents didn't have much money, but it was also practical, and it was a good thing to do. When we put covers over books, I think now they're going to e-books and who knows where they're at. But anyway, we would take a book and we would take like a paper bag. And we would cut it, and that was our cover that we put over that. And I remember I got something like that, a cover to put over this phone book, and ultimately brought it in and put the book of life. I think that's what it is. Yeah, the book of life. And I put that as the title, and I opened up that phone book, and what I did ahead of time was ultimately I took some white out, and I took someone's name. Right? And I whited it out, right? And I can't remember whose name it was, but it wasn't important. I was trying to show them a point. And I tried to show those young kids. I said, see, this is what will happen. One day there's going to be this book, the Book of Life, and it's going to be opened up, and they could see all the names that was in it. And ultimately I said, but here's a name. Their name's not written. And those kids looked at me like, oh, no, what happened, right? And I said, well, what happens now is the Bible says there's going to be these other books that are open which will give account of their life. Every single second, minute, hour, day, year, every single thing, they'll give an account. And ultimately, the Bible says that it'll give an account of their works. Well, the Bible already says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the book of James tells you that if you fail at one point, James chapter 2, you fail at one point, you're guilty of them all. You know what's going to happen? When those books are open, ultimately, they already know that they're guilty. They're going to see that you did this, you did this, did this. Do you imagine? I could tell you before I got saved, if those books would have opened, there was probably about 100 books on me. Amen. I was just a horrible kid. The truth of the matter is, old kids are same. Amen. We're all sinners. Amen. Listen to me. Children have not changed. Amen. Children have. You may say, but preacher, I'm telling you, there's some wicked things going. No, no, no. Children have not changed. They've always been sinners. Parents have change. Amen. That's what we're seeing in our society. But anyway, I could imagine if I didn't get saved, there'd have been books and books. And ultimately, you know what those books would have said? Guilty, 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 sin, sin. And the reality is, I'd have been cast into a lake of fire. Amen. Why? Because I'm guilty. I deserve that. The truth of the matter is, even as a Christian, after getting saved, the reality is, I don't deserve heaven. I do not deserve Jesus Christ willingly coming down to die on Calvary's cross to suffer for me. I deserve to die. I deserve to be in that place, but He loved me. He loved you. Amen. And the Bible's telling us here who will be thrown into the lake of fire if someone's name is not written. See, it's easy maybe in our minds we're thinking of someone who's a mass murderer. But the truth of the matter is, it will also be grandma who's never did anything wrong, has always tried to do what's right, but she doesn't know Christ. She'll be there too. See, the truth of the matter is, sometimes in our minds, we may grasp some things because we look and say, that's really bad sin. The reality is, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. See, the Bible's saying, whosoever name is not written. So what we could see who will be in that horrible place called hell will ultimately be those who have never accepted Christ. You think about these teenagers. The truth is, teenagers, they're of age. And if they never accept Christ, they'll spend eternity in hell. You think about the young people in their 20s and 30s. Since I'm in my 40s, right? Amen. Whatever the age would be. The truth of the matter is, if they don't accept Christ, we'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. See, we love thinking about heaven, but the reality is, there is a place called hell. What is it going to be like? Well, look over here to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16. in Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, here it is, we see a little picture, not everything, but we see a little picture where God tells us in His Word, a little picture of what hell's like. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 16, look down here at verse 19. The Bible says, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There's nothing wrong about being rich. Amen. I have heard people say things that, no, there's nothing wrong. Just never make that your God. Amen. The reason why this rich man ended up in hell wasn't because he was rich. He ended up in hell because he never accepted Christ. Because, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. So you have to remember, this is the time still under the law when Jesus walked on this earth. This is before the time where he died for us and his blood was shed. And when someone died, they went down into paradise. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us, and even we could see it in the book of Ephesians, it says when he died, went down, ultimately when he rose again, the blood was applied, he went down into captivity and led them captives. That means he took them out of paradise. We could see that picture also. We're doing a study on Wednesday evening about the tabernacle. If you remember, after he rose, I think it's Matthew chapter 28. Remember what happened? It was rent. I think it was the temple was rent from the top to bottom. What was that? The picture of the Holy of Holies. Amen. People can now enter. Well, how's that? Through Christ. Amen. It was a wonderful picture. You should come on Wednesday. You'll enjoy it. Amen. But anyway, what we could see here is ultimately, if you go down and look here, in verse 22 at the end, it says, went into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. You know, the truth of the matter is, if God tarries, each and every one of us will face death. We will. Amen. I know right now the guy from Google, can't remember his name, the guy from Google, and I think guy from Amazon, one of them, they are trying to find something to ultimately so they can live forever. They are. They're trying. You know, the truth of the matter is, they can just give me 1% of their money. I don't even take that. Amen. I don't even take a dime or a nickel or a penny from them. I can tell them they're going to die. So it's pointed out to man wants to die after this, the judgment. Amen. They can try all their best. Amen. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I thank God we live in the greatest country of the world, in America. I thank God for the great doctors and nurses that we have. And when I get something, I'm going to do my best to fight it the best I can. Amen. I love life. Amen. I love every day the Lord has given me. But the reality is there's going to come a day where I'm going to die. It doesn't matter. You can have all the money in the world. You're going to die. You may have no money in the world. Join the club. Amen. May not have much. Amen. You're going to die. But, you know, the reality is that's why Christ came to die for you. We can see here he died. And look what the Bible says in verse 23. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. So just in those few scriptures, what we could see, he has a memory. He knew who Lazarus was. My friends, can I tell you, when someone goes into hell, they still have a mind. They still know who people are. Amen? We could see here, ultimately, he was being tormented. He didn't find mercy. He was tormented. He was just asking. When I preach, sometimes my throat gets dry. And I like water. Amen. I like when you put coffee beans in it. Amen. And tastes a lot better. And some people, I think they say, I like sugar and creamer with a little bit of coffee in it. Amen. That may be true. Amen. Go to Tim Hortons. Soon, I know, Marcia, you work there. But soon, Dunkin' Donuts will be open. Amen. I thought she was going to throw something at me. Amen. But you can go there and get a double-double. I tried that. I'm sorry, Marcia. I know you work at Tim Hortons. But I went to Dunkin' Donuts one time and I said, hey, can I get a medium double-double? They said, oh, you're Timmy Horton guy.
I said, oh, now I'm in trouble, amen. Maybe I'll just go somewhere else, amen. I didn't know what they were going to do to my coffee. But it was coffee. I figured I'd drink it anyway, amen. How did I get on that? Water, amen. When you think about water, I love water. Here it is. He just asked for a drip of water. You just give me a little drop. Will you please send him down here and just take a little drop of water and put it on my tongue? For I'm in torment. I want you to think there's a place without water. It's a place of torment. We can see here, you go verse 26, and it says, beside all this, between you and between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that if we could pass from hence, to you cannot, neither can they pass for us that would come from hence. Now we know at one time there's going to be people who have died, who have gone to hell. What's going to happen? What we've read, that great white throne judgment, God's going to take them out of hell. They're going to stand before Him. See, they're already guilty. Amen? They're just going to find where their torment of what's going to be. When someone dies without Christ, they automatically go to hell. Why? Because they're already condemned. So they're going to stand before God and then be cast into the lake of fire. And there is no way out. None. We live in the place that we live in now, downstairs in there. We live the downstairs part of it, kind of like in the basement. And we have one way out. And one of the things that we're going to look to do is ultimately put another escape, another door down there. You know why? Because if a fire ever comes, and if this is the doorway that's here, and if a fire comes here, I'm in serious trouble. Amen. What I'm going to do is take that window, knock it out, and ultimately take my wife, throw her through the window, and ultimately we have a sump pump down there. I'll just jump in the sump pump and say, just pray. Amen. But the reality is, if a fire comes, we're in trouble, right? If it comes through that opening. Amen. The reality is, I want you to think about this. In hell, there's no doorway. There's no exit to tell someone, this is how you get. No, 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 no. When you get there, there's no other second chance. You're there. And ultimately, we could see here, it's what he's saying. He goes on and says this in verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wilt send him to my father's house. Again, what do you see? He had a memory. He remembered. He goes on and says, for I have five brethren that may testify unto them, lest they come unto this place of torment. No one in hell today wants someone to join them. They don't. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, and says, let them hear him. But he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, for one rose from the dead. You know the biblical truth that we learn from this? Do you ever hear someone say, if I see a miracle, I'll believe? No, you won't. The Bible's saying, if you don't believe the Word of God, you're not going to believe you see a miracle. Amen? That's what the Bible's telling us. But what do we see here? He has a memory. He has a memory. He knew that he had five brethren. And he didn't want to see his brothers in that horrible place of torment. When you think about hell, see, the truth is, God's not there. The truth is, there's no Christians there. There's no hymns, there's no fellowship, there's no friends, there's no loved ones, there's no light, there's no answered prayer, there's no love, there's no kindness, there's no sunsets, there's no leisurely walks, there's no children laughing. Amen? I love church, amen? Always love church. I love everyone, amen? But I love that little boy that sits in the back calling. He's not there, he's downstairs, amen? Why? He has life, amen? One day we were in the church service and I forget what I said. I said, good morning! And I don't know if anyone said anything. And I think, if I remember, Carson's the one that said something, right? And then he said, good morning! He was a little two-year-old, amen? I just love those little kids, amen? They have life, amen? We saw a picture of a little baby, amen? Now, I don't like holding babies, especially when they're smaller. I like when they get a little bit bigger, amen? I'm afraid I'll break them or something, amen? Ladies are different. They love babies. Smaller, they love them, amen? I have a niece that just had a baby boy, amen? And I'm thinking, well, I'm going to wait until he's a little bit older, then I'll hold him, amen? That's just me. I know I'm weird. I'm a guy, amen? But a lot of guys are that way, amen? And if not, just pretend like you are, so that way I don't feel too weird, amen? But anyway, babies. When you think about babies, how cute they are, amen? Do you ever see a baby and you have that cute little smile on their face? You know what they do? They make you smile, amen? Babies are just precious. There won't be a baby in hell. There won't be that laughter. You know, after church, I loved seeing those kids outside running and playing and having fun. There's none of that in hell. You know, there, you think about it, there's no entertainment, there's no music, there's no games, there's no news, there's no comfort, there's no pain pills. You think about it, there's no puppies, there's no these animals, but there will be a worm that dieth not, what the Bible tells us. There's no movie, entertainment, there's no freedom, there's no choice, there's no kind words, there's no smiles, there's no mercy, there's no hope, there's no way out. The reality is hell is a real place, a place of torment. I remember one time, I think I told some of you this story, I won't mention the individual's name, you don't know him, it was when I was living down in another place. I remember I was dealing with someone, just got saved. And after I got saved, this person was going through a serious trial in their life. They didn't know God. And I tried to encourage them and tell them, God can help you. And for whatever reason, I can't remember why I said it, but I do now. But I told him, I said, if you ever think about taking your life, will you please let me know? And he said, yeah. I said, no, I want to promise. And he promised me. And I remember it was about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sitting there sleeping, trying my best to sleep. Amen. And next thing you know, I hear this. And I'm thinking, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, what is that? It's just a dream or whatever, you know. You're waking up from this and I hear this. I'm thinking, that can't be anything. You know, the place I was living was more in a country setting. I'm thinking, you know, maybe the wind's hitting something. And finally it came to a place in my mind that the knocking went away. And it was in my mind, I said, you know, why don't you get up and see who that is? I remember getting up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning and going over and looking out the window. And as I looked through the window, I saw someone in the place I lived. Thank God I had the big pathway to get to my house. That was way over there. And I looked and I said, oh my. And I remember going to my front door, opening it and yelled the person's name and said, hey, I'm awake. And I remember that person that was from yonder walking over. And as he came... You won't say the name. He came up and I saw on his face a look I have never seen before. And I remember he came in and was talking a little bit. And he said, you know, I made a promise to you. And he said, I can't take it anymore. And I remember sitting there thinking, oh my, and I was praying in my mind, what am I going to say? And I remember everything I told him, he said, and he started telling me this trial. He said, it's not worth it. And ultimately, I thought this person was going to take their life. And I was sitting there talking to him, and everything I said just did not work. I had tears in my eyes thinking, you don't want to take your life. And ultimately, he said, I'm leaving. It's not worth it. And I remember as he was getting ready to leave, I looked at him and I said, hey, will you at least give me 5 minutes? He said, I'll do that. I remember I went back and got my Bible out, and I said, you gave me 5 minutes. I sat down here and I said, you may not listen to me, but I want you to listen to a rich man. And I read these verses to him, and this man who had his face was thinking he was ready to get ready to take his own life, then ultimately look at me, and he got sober. Because the reality is, I looked at him, I told him, I said, you take your life, the rich man is telling you, this is where you're going to spend eternity. The reality is, he needed a wake-up call. And he heard that. He was sobering on his mind, thinking, I don't want to take my life. Matter of fact, he loves life today. Amen? The truth of the matter is, I want you to understand, because hell is a real place. You may say, well, how do you know it's real? Well, you think about it. If you have a Bible that's a red edition Bible, these words that you saw here are written in red. Who was it that said it? Christ, God Almighty. We're doing a study, we just finished it, about God. What's one thing God cannot do? Lie. And here it is, what was he talking about? Hell. Amen? We know every single thing that's in the Bible is the very words of God. You know, there's another place where we're talking about that worm. I think in Mark chapter 9 it says, where the worm dieth not. We know every single word is the word of God. Amen? But it was Christ himself who walked on this earth who said that. He talked about eternal judgment. See, the reality is,
God Almighty believes in hell. I'm sure you've run into people who say, I don't believe there's a place called hell. You may not believe it, but God said there is a place. See, the truth is the devil's trying to tell you, no, there's no place. And the reality is, if there's not a place called hell, then Jesus Christ is a liar. So what are you going to rest your eternal destiny on? Your own personal opinion or what God Almighty said? Amen? Jesus said it. Amen? He said it, so that means it's true. But I want you to see this. We have a few more points. Look over here to Matthew chapter 25. I want you to understand, it wasn't made for you. Hell was not made for mankind. Thank God. Amen? Sadly, mankind chooses to go there. See, and the Bible says in Matthew chapter 25, look down here, verse 41. Again, who's saying this? Our Lord Jesus Christ. We know every single word from the beginning to the end is God's word. Amen? We can say our Lord, when He walked on this earth, He said that. Matthew chapter 25, look down here, verse 41. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The reality is, hell was not made for man. Hell was made for the devil and the fallen angels. That's who it was made for. Man chooses to go there. How long does hell last? Well, again, what we see here, the Bible says in verse 41, everlasting fire. It means there's no end. See, the truth of the matter is sometimes we don't like to think about that. Amen? Thank God if you're saved, you will not spend a second in there. Amen? Whatever is smaller than a second, you won't spend that time in there. Amen? If you're saved. But the truth is, those without Christ will spend all eternity in a lake of fire. Duration without end. See, it wasn't some crazy preacher who said that. It's God. It's His word. Everlasting fire. Other places where Jesus said, He says, where the worm dieth not, in Mark chapter 9. Another place He says, where the fire is not quenched. What we read earlier in Revelation, I think chapter 20 and verse 10, it says, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. See, it's forever. There is no way they're going to get out. And we can go through other things, but you know the truth of the matter is, if you don't know Christ, one day that's where you'll be. But the blessing is this. He didn't want you to be there. You think of that famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the world. See, I want you to think about this. God loves you. God loves you so much. He gave up His own life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, God does not want you to go to that devil's hell. God does not want you to ultimately go into a place where you'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. He paid your price. See, God loves you. And the truth of the matter is, not only does He love you, He doesn't want you to go there. Look at what the Bible says over here in the book of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, there's not a single person that's been born into this world that God wants to see in hell. He doesn't want to see anyone. You and me should never have that say in our minds. You would want to see someone there. That is definitely not right, that you're not in the right spirit. The truth is, I don't want to see any human there. I don't. Look here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why Jesus Christ has not come back yet today? Now, no one knows the day or the hour. It's because He still wants, there's some people that He's working on. He wants to see them get saved. See, He's not willing that any should perish. Thank God for that. My friends, can I tell you? Because I was on my way to hell. Not willing that any. It's me. Amen? That's you. You think back before you got saved? That was God. Amen? Working on you. See, He loves you. He doesn't want to go there. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 2. In Romans chapter 2, I want you to think He loves you. He doesn't want you to go there. And I want you to see here in Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Look here in verse 4. "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" I want you to think of this. God is trying to get your attention. Before I got saved, I go back in my life, and I look. And I remember that time I was working on an assembly line, putting bowls into boxes. That God had brought a Christian lady into that place to try to get my attention. I think back and when I was playing baseball, on the baseball team that I was playing down in West Virginia, there was a guy that was a Christian that all tried to constantly get my attention. Here it is. It says, "Don't you know the goodness of God?" I want you to think, before I got saved, I had some good health, and I still have pretty good health. That's the goodness of God. You know, I was very fortunate that I was blessed. I had parents. The truth of the matter is, God blessed my life. Amen? Even before I got saved. Think about it. I had some good parents. The truth is, you probably did too. Amen? Or if not, you had someone that raised you and cared for you. The truth is, even if there were those that didn't care, there was still someone out there that cared for you that cares for you even today. If you think about the goodness of God, think about God helps you in different trials. Before you got saved, your protection over you. I remember a time that I was down in West Virginia. This is before I got saved. I remember we were going to this wedding. I can't remember the person who got married, but it was someone that we were in college with. And as this person was getting married, we ended up getting a hotel room. It was a bunch of us from college got this hotel room, and not good, right? But anyway, before I got saved, I went out and go drinking, and I was drunk. And I remember one time that there was a place down in West Virginia. I think it was Charleston, West Virginia. We were up in this hotel room, and we were all sitting there drinking. And I remember getting on to, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious, so, you know, I'm sitting on the altar, but I'm going to try to show it as an illustration. I remember up on about 8-10 stories up on this hotel, getting out on the balcony, sitting like this, just drinking alcohol. As I was looking down, and ultimately I could see, you know, I'm pretty high up, but if I fell, I was dead. And I sit back and think of the goodness of God. That could have easily been a win that could have came where I fell. It could have been easy because we had a lot of people that were there that came up, "Hey, how you doing?" and hit me that I fell. I think back in my life there was other times where I was driving a car. I remember as I was sitting in the car and I was getting ready to take off, and as I started to pull out, then ultimately the car stopped before I got saved. There was a tractor and trailer that was coming down that laid on the horn. There was no way for him to stop. I think back to the goodness of God. My friends, can I tell you, when you think about those times, you don't see it. What is it? God's trying to get your attention. It's God's goodness. See, He loves you. He doesn't want you to go there. He's trying to get your attention. And the truth is, He's warning you. We won't go to the verse of this morning, but in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "It's appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment." He's warning you. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be too old to realize this. Right? We're going to die. You know? We already know. But are we prepared to meet God? You know? He's warning us. And the last thing is this. He's giving you an opportunity. The truth of the matter is, we serve a wonderful, awesome God that doesn't want you to go to a devil's hell. So He's given you an opportunity. He's given you an opportunity that all you have to do is be willing to admit that you're a sinner on your way to hell, that you deserve that place. I deserved it. Amen? I deserve to spend eternity there. I repent. Repentance is a change of mind towards God and towards sin. I realize it was my sin that ultimately put him on the cross. It was my sin that ultimately... I didn't care about God. I didn't. I want to live my own life, that repentance. I had that repentant heart, and I turned to God. And I put my faith in Jesus Christ, what He did for me, that He became my substitute. He died for me, was buried, and rose again. And that day, when I was listening to a tape of an evangelist preacher, that day I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and He saved me. I am no longer going to a place that's called the devil's hell. I'm going to a place that's called heaven. Now, a lot of times I don't call it heaven. I call it home. Amen. This journey of life, I'm going to go home to heaven. Amen. But the reality is, God gave me opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Let me ask you this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, He's given you an opportunity. He doesn't want you to go to that place called hell. It wasn't made for you. He's warning you. You look at the goodness of God. It says, leadeth thee to repentance. You know what the devil will do to you? The devil, if you're here tonight or this morning and you're not saved, I don't know anyone's heart, he'll tell you this: God's not good to you. You're going to listen to the devil, or you're going to listen to God's word. He'll say, He's not good to you. See, the devil wants you to go to hell. Do you ever think about that? The devil wants you to spend eternity in that place that's called the lake of fire. See, he doesn't love you. God does. The devil, he never died for you. Never would. Matter of fact, the devil, if he could, remember Job? He would have killed Job, and God said, don't touch him. That's what he wanted to do. Think about it. The devil is the one who ultimately, Adam and Eve sinned. He did not care that ultimately they were going to die. That shows you, he doesn't care for you. But God's the opposite. He loved you. He promised to die for you. And he did. See, he's given you an opportunity. My question is, have you ever received him as your Savior? And if so, can I tell you as Christians, there's a verse in the Bible, I think I wrote it down, where Jesus and his disciples came back. They were all excited that he gave them power to cast out the demons. And he says this in Luke 10:20, it says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. He said, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Can I tell you one of the greatest things when you think about it is that book of life, that your name is written in it. My friends, can I tell you, you rejoice. Don't allow the devil to take away that joy, because one day you'll be there. And if you don't know Christ, the blessing is today, He's giving you an opportunity. You can come forward and make it known. We'll have someone show you from the Bible when we close in the invitation how it is that you can receive Christ as your Savior and where you too can have eternal life. Let's close in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to preach. I thank you.